It's wonderful to see you here and see you enjoying the wonderful presence of God. To know, as Brother David said, that the taproot is deep enough that you still have life in you. The wintertime comes and the parasites has to be killed out, but then the blossoming comes for a resurrection. Folks, it's so close. I'm not going to try to get into a message this morning. I couldn't add anything to what the Lord's already said anyway through the inspiration and through David doing that. And I asked him if he'd minister this morning. It wasn't that he took my time. I asked him to do that. And I didn't know it was Father's Day. I just kind of get lost in the things of God to the extent that I just don't know when it's one day or another day anymore. And Betty, she don't let me know nothing unless I figure it out. I come in this morning and I thought I saw a car that looked like George Jr.'s. I said, I believe that's Rick's car. She just passed it off and said, well, David's car's out there or something. And so I just don't know those things. I just know it's so wonderful to know that the children are here. Pray for them all the time. And you know, you want to see them saved. I can't hardly bear the thoughts of one of them being lost. And I can't hardly bear the thoughts of anyone being lost, because I feel like everybody belongs to me. All over the world, I feel like all folks belong to me. Even the wicked, the Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but not even the wicked, or that is not even the wicked, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. For God hath no pleasure in death. God is the spirit of life. He's the God that gives life, the God that created everybody and all things for life, and created all life and all things for folks and for life. So it's His pleasure for you to live. And even though in the transgression and the fall, we are condemned unto death. The Bible said God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, for the world was condemned already, but rather through His Son that we might live and have life, and that God might save the world, that He so loved the world the way it was when He made the garden in Adam and Eve. He was so happy with it that when it got in the condition that it's in, He sent His Son to redeem it so He could save it and restore it back to what it was. So He wants you to live. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be happy. The Bible said the fear of God with humility brings riches, long life, and honor. I appreciate all my children being here this morning, and I appreciate all my spiritual children, and I trust that my natural children will also be my spiritual children. I love them so dearly, I've tried to give my life for them. And if you don't get your natural mother and your natural dad and your natural brother and sister, your natural children to come into God, then they can't be your children always. They can't be your relatives always. They can't be your friends always. I'd like to say this to give you some idea of what I'm saying, and we're not going to take long. And after I say this, we'll probably sing a chorus and then let you sit down. I know you've been standing. I heard a little story one time where a man had a number of children, and he was a very devout man. He loved the Lord, and he led his children to God. And when he went to pass away, he called the children one at a time. And as he talked to them, he told them, he said, good night. I'll see you in the morning. Every one of them. Till he got down to one. And he said, goodbye. That's the thing we don't want to say is goodbye. So the son looked at him and said, Dad, said, why did you do that? Said, you didn't do that to the others. He said, son, the others are serving the Lord. You're not serving the Lord. Said, that's all I can do. To you, to others, this is not real. You don't know the reality of the sting of death. We see so many movies and read so many books of fiction, and we hear so many things. And people so boldly say, I don't mind dying. I'm not afraid to die. They don't even know what they're saying. They don't even have any idea what it's like, the sting of death and darkness. The Bible says the dead know not anything. And when that spirit departs from that body, and that body lays in the grave, and that soul goes into paradise or it goes into hell. See, you don't know. You just don't know. I say you don't understand. God, forgive me for saying that in any way to cause you to feel, you know, like I'm know-all. Folks, you don't know. You don't know. You just don't know. Somebody says, but I do, so help me, God, my hand be raised to heaven. I tell you before God, I hope I die before I draw another breath. You don't know. You don't know. You don't even have an idea. See, you got to go into some places and walk some lonesome valleys and go to some places that you never dreamed could ever be. I've not been places maybe where some have been, but I've been into places I never knew there was such thing. I never knew. I never dreamed it could be such horror, such terror, that would literally rip a person to shreds. I never knew that. You just don't know. You don't see. You breathe, you eat, you drink. Just be grateful that Jesus died for you, and be grateful for what he done. Be grateful for the fact that you have a chance for eternal life. Be grateful, because I'm telling you, you live in a world of fiction. You live in a world of fantasism. You live in a world of make-believe. You don't know what it's like. You don't know. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, many people have died. I know we all die. Jacob said, I go the way of all the earth. Everyone, if you go to die, don't feel bad. When your time comes to die, you're all on death row. You will go. Whether young or old, you're just waiting your time. You're all on death row, just like men that's waiting for the electric chair. See, but don't be alarmed, because you're only going to do what everybody else done. But folks, that's not what it's about. It's just a few seconds after that. You don't know. But there's one thing about it. I'm thankful for the things that was said this morning concerning my life. And I wish I was worthy of one-third, just one-third of those things that I had accredited to my life. I'd be happy. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. You have but one heavenly Father, that's Christ. You know, and we're doing what we can. The little story said that the boy was so convicted, it tore him up so bad, he gave his heart to God. So the family was complete. And the man said, good night, I'll see you in the morning. Brother, I appreciate Brother Torrance and the visitors coming and the others. And we are looking forward to a camp meeting. Every camp meeting, we've had such a tremendous camp meeting. And the place has always been filled up where we was at. And spirits always moved in a great, wonderful way. I've helped things down a little bit here in the sanctuary. Used to make a lot of noise and just praise the Lord, which that's the thing to do, especially like the morning, this morning occasions. But I've tried to hold it to where I could tutor you and develop your mind. Jesus was a teacher and a preacher. Paul was a teacher and a preacher. And many times Jesus just sat down in the boat, or he sat down on the hillside to instruct and to transformate their thoughts and to indoctrinate their thoughts, because even though we feel this wonderful thing like this morning, the wonderful blessings of God and the outpouring, see, you can't go by that, though it's wonderful and though it's thrilling and it's magnificent. But you can't go by that, because see, that's because of the blood on the seat of atonement. That is for everybody. That's for the tares, that's for the wheat. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. Even a murderer, a liar, or cheat, God doesn't see their wrongs. The blood covers it. He doesn't see it, and won't see it until the blood's gone, because he can't look on iniquity. Someday, when the blood is gone, he won't be able to look through the blood at all those things. And the whole earth will just be devastated. And he'll make the valley run with blood up to the horse's bridle. So you can't go by that just because you feel the Spirit of God. You can say that God is with you, because the Bible said he's above you, he's in you, he's through you. As to for so far as us having our being, our state of being, it's in God. That's how we live, that's how we breathe. The tare breathes, it enjoys the sunshine and the rain, just like the wheat. But the harvest is what tells the tale as to whether it will be gathered to be burned or gathered into the garners for use. So you can't go by that. You're feeling the good presence of God because of Jesus' sacrifice and his tears and his travail and sweating blood, and because his blood is there on the seat of atonement for you, that God can't touch you until that blood's moved. So then he's given you a chance to feel all of this too. The Bible said surely the goodness of God draws us to repentance, or this is our opportunity to get our eyes open just enough to see the light and enjoy this wonderful refreshing of God that the saints will have throughout eternity. So you can't go by that, folks. You need to repent and be born again and have this spirit inside of you. And you need the tutoring of his word as to completely change your mind, just like you'd go to school or college, to where you can reach a diplomacy with God, and then you know that you're all right. But until you do that to reach your diplomacy, then that means you just didn't make it. That's all. You're just a dropout. And you're going to have to buckle down somewhere instead of giving all your thoughts to the world, all your time to the tutoring of the world, and all of your time as the children to the tutoring of the world. You're going to have to buckle down and shut the world out and take time to learn this word and be tutored in the word, to grow in the grace of God and to grow in the knowledge of God to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, to the full reward. For he's ordained that you have an unction from the Holy One, that you should know all things and that you should come into all these truths. And when the Spirit of Christ shall come, what you refer to as the Holy Ghost, he shall guide you into all truth and all righteousness. And when he comes, he will testify of me, Jesus said, which is the word of truth. And if you don't have a hunger for that, a thirst for that, a knowledge for that, then you don't have that world. Because that world is a world that comes to you through the transformating of your thoughts. And if your thoughts are never transformated, then that means your spirit did not go into that world. And your spirit goes into that world through a transformating of the mind. And that means you've got to have the word, faith by the hearing of the word. And Enoch was translated by faith. And if you don't get it, then you don't have the faith. And if you don't have the faith, you don't have the translation. So it's not at all like you think. With all the world enjoying the blessings of God right now and great revivals and healings, all these things, exuberance to preach and whatever's going on, my hands be raised to heaven, that won't be sufficient for your salvation. That's only the rain on the just and the unjust. And everybody's learning the love of God and having great revivals. But remember, he is the Word. Look at his life, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Look at Paul, the Gentile overseer. In my heart, this continual sorrow. 5 times at the whipping post he was beat, 3 times with rods, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked, locked up into prison, hunger, and he often in hungers and fastings, destitute of daily needs, made the offscouring of the earth. But he was the great Christ, for he said, not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live even in my mortal flesh, it is Christ. Let's sing a little chorus together. Like I said, I kept you standing because I'm not going to try to sit you down and preach to you this morning. Just pray for us. Pray that we'll do what little we can. And my life has been a very happy life in the sense that I had the privilege to serve God. Otherwise, life is vanity. It's few days and full of trouble. It's swifter than a shuttle, appeareth for a while and then vanisheth away. It isn't like that I am sorry of anything that happened to me. I'm not sorry. I do not pity myself of any pain or any misery or any discomfort or any shortcomings or anything as to what I might have received in life. I do not pity myself. I count it a great privilege to have experienced anything that's come upon me. I thank God for it. I think it was so marvelous that he would count me worthy to suffer shame for his name, as the early church said. And to be able to feel the pain and misery, the discomforts, whatever it might be, that I might have a feeling toward the infirmities of others, even as the high priest, my high priest, felt my infirmities. And in doing that, I despise anything that would make me to where I can't do what I want to do for God. And I despise anything, you know, that would be unlike the Lord Jesus. The Bible said he endured the cross, despising the shame thereof. But for the joys that were set before him, he endured those shames. So then you pray for me. I'm praying for you. And it's not like you are worried or I'm worried because we're going to die, because we're not going to die. We'll never die. We've already took care of that. We passed from death unto life. That's all over. We're not on death row anymore. See, we pass from death unto life, and we don't have anything to worry about. Everything before us is like a beautiful garden. We are filled with His Spirit, filled with His life, filled with His Word, filled with eternal living, eternal youth, eternal riches, eternal knowledge, eternal wisdom, eternal splendor, to rule with a rod of iron as we overcome and sit down in the throne with Him. For if you overcome, you shall sit down in the throne with Him, which means in the ruling power to rule with a rod of iron and to break the nations like pottery as to their rules and regulations and to their governments, to make them become obedient or do obeisance unto you and carry out the governmental restrictions that God gives. So then let's pray. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. Let it be done on earth as in heaven. So see, it is here. It is here. David spoke of this. It is here. And being here, that's why I say you don't understand. Heaven, where is heaven? Where is the kingdom? The little boy in the song said, how far is heaven? When can I go? Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Let's just sing this little chorus together. I know there is a land of beautiful flowers where we will meet again when life is o'er. Why blow away the endless hours on heaven's bright eternal shore. Let's just lift our hands up while we're praising the Lord. And let's love the Lord for just a few minutes. While we take a few minutes to worship the Lord, the altars are open. And if you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. I don't feel like trying to indoctrinate you or preach anything to you this morning. You have heard a wonderful word of the Lord and the inspiration. And I'd like for you to just consider as we sing this morning. Like to meet you by that beautiful river. Up there someday when life here is old. While blow away endless hours on heaven's bright eternal shore. For I know there is a land of beautiful flowers where we can meet again when the light is o'er. There will while away the endless hours on heaven's bright eternal shore. While we've got our hands up and our eyes closed as we sing a little chorus or two and worship the Lord, if you've never made the commitment to God as to your soul, then let me encourage you to make the commitment Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. And if you've never made the commitment, then make the commitment. Jesus, just before you departed the body, he said, into thine hands, Father, I commit my spirit, I commit my spirit to thee. So if you've never committed your spirit to God, commit your spirit to God. Let him translate it into the marvelous kingdom of God, that this wonderful life as heavenly treasure on the inside of your body may begin to make itself manifest in your mortal genes through the transformating of your mind as you grow in the grace and knowledge of God from day to day. And don't miss this. Don't miss heaven. You know, you miss a lot of things in your lifetime, but don't miss heaven. Whatever you do, if you miss heaven, like the songwriter said, you missed it all. You miss a lot of things. Go back and pick it up. But if you miss heaven, you've missed everything. It's growing late. It's a lot later than you think it is. And of course, we who are spiritual, the Bible said, he that is spiritual, he judgeth all things. And it's kind of like a person driving their automobile. They hear a little ping or knock, and it doesn't mean anything. But a mechanic can tell them that they're in for bad trouble. You know, we can tell you there's this trouble up ahead. And I'd made the statement that the Protestant people would join ranks with the Catholic people, and that the Jewish people would join ranks with both of these. And that the Jews coming to the Catholic Church would be accepted, and they would accept one another as the Jew and the Catholic. And that the Protestants coming to the Catholic Church, they would accept one another as the Protestant and the Catholic. And I said that Billy Graham will be the one that will lead the Protestant people into the Catholic Church. And then the rabbi, even as this one that just came to the Pope recently, would succeed in leading the Jewish people to the Catholic Church. I said in before the end, or right at the end, these three bodies will come together. Well, yesterday, whether true or false, whatever, I heard the statement made that the Baptist people had stood up and made the statement or published an article saying that we have decided that the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church sees eye to eye enough on their doctrine that we can be one, and that they were coming together, the two biggest organizations in the world, as it is said. And then I also heard yesterday that the Catholic Church, who hath never given the Jews the right to be a nation, blaming them with the death of Jesus, all of a sudden has decided that they are to receive the Jews as their elderly brother. And now the Jews with the Catholics has signed a staunch agreement that they're going to be one. So all of them together. Billy has worked to bring this about in the Protestant world, because the Protestants came out through Martin Luther out of the Catholic Church. And getting all the denominations together of every church, being out of the Baptist Church, he was accepted of the Catholics. And in that he was accepted, now the Baptists has followed him. And now all the other denominations that joins him in his crusades, that puts them all together under the leadership of Billy and under the Baptist Church, that all of them will emerge right into it. That means the end of the church ages. That means the end of the world, because after that, God won't have anything to work with anymore. That will be the end of it. Because it's the Catholic papacy that carries the number 666 on the little mitre, on the crown. And that is to the Vicarius Filii Dei, to the numerical evaluation, which means vicar instead of Christ. It is there. And if I took time this morning to explain to you what it means about them coming together, what it means concerning the Jewish people, and what it means is concerning the end of the world, you would right readily understand what I'm saying. And maybe we will, as time goes on, comment a little bit on these kind of things. But folks, it's a fearful moment. It's the end. Our president has turned the world into sodomy. And the Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd predicted that they would do this. I said, someday they'll do this. And when they do this, that will be the end. God will not spare the world anymore. For he burned Sodom and Gomorrah. He burned it with fire. And the other night, it was over the evening. It wasn't at night. I'd went away to pray. It was after my morning service last Sunday, I believe it was. And over the evening, about 5 o'clock, I went into the living room to pray before my night service. Whatever it was, I was praying, and all of a sudden I went off like in a trance, I don't know what it was, but I looked, and a place in Atlanta, Georgia, was just blown to pieces right in the midst of the city. And I couldn't tell where a bomb had been dropped or whether it had been something that had was set there, but I remember it just blowed buildings to pieces, the huge buildings. And I remembered I saw bodies flying through the air, their arms stretched out and legs stretched out, and I heard them screaming as the blast went off, as they lifted up in the air, and I could hear the screams fade out as the life went out of their bodies, and just all kind of people. And many, many other things that we've seen along with this that tells us that trouble is on the horizon. And that means that we better do something. We better do something fast. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh and of the body. And the dispute is over the body. And he wants that body. And he's not going to turn it loose. Because if he does, he has to go out into the dry places. And he's tormented. Like in the land of Gadara, when Jesus came there to cast the devils out of Legion. They cried out and said, have you come to torment us before our time? If you're going to cast us out, suffer us to at least go away in the herd of swines. So those devils, they've got to get out of that body, and they're going to hold that body, and they savor the things that be of the flesh, of the world, the natural things. It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Everything in the world and the world itself, the Bible said, shall pass away, for all of it is vanity. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then though the outer man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day. And you need to consider it, because if you wait too long, it's just a matter of the heart stopping or wreck or something happening, and that's the end of the trail. There won't be, I hope you can understand that when we leave this scene of action, it is not going to be like religious people tell you that when you get over there, there's going to be an evaluation as to whether you have so much good or so much bad, and God's going to accept you on those bases. There's none good, no, not one. All have sinned. All have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. All flesh has corrupted its way. And God looked down from heaven and saw that the thoughts of men are continually evil. And I repeat this again, that there is the poison of asp under their tongue, and that their tongue is full of deceit, and their throats are an open sepulchre. And their feet are swift to shed blood, and before their eyes is misery and destruction. And the ways of peace are the paths of peace they've never known. And the Bible said, in your heart is the spirit of foolishness, and your spirit lusteth unto envy, and that your heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But God wants to purify it by faith, so that his spirit can come into it, that eternal life might be there, or a seedling of the word might cause you to grow up into the full measure of the full stature of this wonderful reward. And folks, don't be deceived. Whatever you do, the child is known by his doings. Don't be deceived. If you're doing the things of the world, the natural things of the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the carnal mind are in the flesh and cannot please God. See, so if you do those things, you're going to reap what you sow. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So then remember that if you have not his spirit, you're none of his. You must be born again. Doesn't matter what church you belong to. If you are just lukewarm in the sense that you just believe, if you believe you do well, the devil believes also, but that don't save you just because you believe. Someone would say, but I believe I'm all right. But the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe you're all right when you're not. You can believe you're healed when you're dying. You can believe that you're all right when you got cancer. You know, and dying. So then it doesn't matter what you believe. It has nothing to do with you. You must be born again. And when you're born again, it ain't a matter of your believing. The Bible said the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not by your faith, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And through that faith, he hath imputed that faith unto you for righteousness, and command you to contend for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. And through this faith, he purifies our heart. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for works. And blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and iniquities are covered by the blood. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. So it's up to you to be born again and get his spirit. After that, that little seed will cause you to transformate in mind and conform to the wonderful righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So if you don't have this faith, then you need to get right with God. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See if you be in the faith. If you don't have this faith, then you need to search for this faith. Examine yourself this morning. See if you've ever made contact with the faith of Jesus Christ. And put your faith in the finished works of his atonement this morning, that he might purify your heart with his faith, that the great Spirit of God may come in through his faith into your heart the same way that it lived in his body through that faith. And when that Spirit comes, it will testify of him, and you will do according to his nature. For you have the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this nature that was in the Lord Jesus Christ will be also in you as his spirit, and you will do the very same thing, conform to the same image, and be about the Father's business, and God will make you great and mighty and give you eternal life, and all of the things of life that you could desire, he'll add them unto you, because it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. A little flock, he said. So let's lift our hands up together while we sing. Give you one more chance to come to the altar while we sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. I wonder if all of us just could come down to the altar this morning. Since it's Father's Day, and since the end of the world is so close, the Bible said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. I wonder if all of us could just come to the altar this morning. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you have breath, you're indebted to praise the Lord. He gave you your breath. And why not come to the altar? All of you, just push in, press in, and let's just make it 100% this morning, that God might smile on us and smile on our families, and that God might help us in this time when we need health and need strength, and to give us perseverance that we might do the things that's pleasing to God. Just come on, folks. Don't let a one be left back there. Don't let a one be left back there. Let's just everyone come on up here, and let's just close our eyes and lift our hands this morning just to love the Lord while we sing this together. Can you lift your hands up? The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And when you lift your hands up, it reminds God of the nail-riven hands of Jesus. And he sees those nail-pierced hands at Calvary, and it makes him want to smile on you. Would you do that? Would you love him enough? Would you care for him enough? Would you be concerned enough? You have breath. Praise him this morning. Give him a chance at your life. Lift your hands. You felt his presence this morning. I feel the wonderful Holy Spirit right now. I feel the precious Holy Ghost breaking the yoke right now. And I feel faith from people, real genuine faith, out of their heart going up. That's salvation. Did you know that? When faith goes up out of your heart, that's not human believing. That's not human senses. That's salvation. That's making the contact. Your spirit is contacting the Father of spirits this morning. Lift your hands up, close your eyes, and let's love Him out of our heart this morning. Can you do that? I want you to have eternal life. He wants you to live forever. You're His precious creation, and He doesn't want to lose a one of you. He says what as to one, He says to all, and He loves every one of you. Every one of you, He loves you. He cares for you. He doesn't want to lose not one of you. He wants every one of you. Not even the wicked should perish, but should come to repentance and say, I'm sorry, Heavenly Father, and God will give them life. Just pray, say, Lord, all of them that are in prison, young boys and young women, boys and girls, thousands of them, millions of them around the world. Oh, Lord, throughout the prisons and throughout the insane asylums. Oh, Lord, and throughout the convents and any place where people are held in captivity. Oh, God, and anybody that's in the hospital where they're sick. Whatever it might be, wherever they're at. Oh, God, break the yoke. Heal them. Give them peace. Give them healing. Give them salvation. All those little children that are starving to death around the world. Father, provide something for them to eat. And the widows, and those that are tormented, and those that are broken down in nerves, and those that are blind, and those that are deaf, and those that are crippled, and those that can't help themselves. Say, oh Lord, let me help them. Lord, let me make my life useful. Oh God, let me do something. Let me show compassion the way you showed compassion to me. And Father, let me see people as sheep without a shepherd, and let me reach their souls, and let me help them. Father, I might save a soul from eternal torture and torment. Remember the rich man, he lifted up his eyes in hell, tormented in the flames, and he's still there. He was there when Jesus was here. He's still there. 10 million years from now, he'll still be cut off from God. Folks, there's no starting over. When you stand before God, there's no good and bad. There's no weighing it out. You get salvation right now. Through faith, the great Holy Spirit comes in. Judgment begins at the house of God. The minister, whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Whosoever he blesses shall be blessed. Whosoever he curses shall be cursed. He's God's minister. He beareth not the sword in vain. But he's God's revenger to execute judgment upon them that do evil. But he's there to bless them that do good. And if we bless, he said, thou shalt be blessed. So then, let's believe the word this morning. Lift up our hands. Surrender our spirits to the great Father of spirits. And love one another. And think of our world and the condition it's in. That we might do something to bring it back to the right thing. There's no hope, folks, for the condition of the world and the government of today. But you have a government, you have a king, you have a life, you have a word, you have a mind, you have an understanding. You know what's right and what's wrong. The institutions of learning can't correct it. It's getting worse. But you have faith in God. You have the know-how, you have the understanding, you have the mind of God. You know how to set things back in order. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God because they have the answer. Christ is the answer. You have the answer. Let's just lift our hands up as we love the Lord and worship the Lord. Can we do that? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it, be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath. Sing it again with me now. For this, lift your hands up, close your eyes. That the Lord, just think now.
The day of the Lord is here. The great day is here. Are you going to be part of that day, that eternal day? You're going to be part of that happiness, that eternal health, that eternal riches, that eternal blessing. I know you will be. I know you will be. Thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 will praise Him. Can you give Him a wave offering? Thousands and 10,000 times. The Bible said in angels, 10,000 times 10,000 of angels will be praising God. And millions will be waving their hand. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I'm going to ask Brother David Paul to come back up here, if you will, while we're closing out. David, if you come back up. For this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm going to ask the Floyd sisters to come up here and help me, if they will. Floyd sisters, come up here and help us as we close out. This is the day that the Lord hath. We're going to sing it all over again now. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that my Lord hath made. My Lord hath made. And I will rejoice. I will. Can you lift your hands up? Can you give Him a wave offering? Can you close your eyes and just give Him a wave offering? Sing with me, folks. Lord hath made.